This is Claudio Speakeasy in Radio Theatre, saying hello to everybody out there. And today we do mean out there. We've got a great guest this morning, Drew Becker, poet, author, publisher. And today's show, of course, is brought to you by the Historic Carolina Theatre of Durham, as well as the Apex Arts Council. And, of course, we've got Rocco at the helm, got Will Williams standing by. He's going to catch us up a little bit on the movie No Child at some point. And, of course, I'm going to swing it on back to... I keep wanting to call you a beat-era poet, but there's so much more to you. He certainly has early influences. He's one of the few people, well, actually the only person I've met in my life that actually interviewed...
Allen Ginsberg.
Yep. I knew that, but just got away from me. So, hey, good morning and welcome to the Speakeasy. How about tuning us into what it is you do?
It's great to be here, Claudio. Thank you. I am a writer and have been a writer since I was probably 9 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And that's led me on a journey that included publishing a book on my own in the 70s before there were digital books. And
Way before.
And writing all the way through since then. And now I find that I have an opportunity to help artists and authors to publish their own books as digital books on Amazon, as Kindle books.
So you actually got it. You explored the today's publishing medium, which I'm way behind on. I'm still a guy that sits in front of bookshelves when he's home writing. So, you know, this whole new thing, e-books and so on, has just sort of sideswiped me. I have no idea what's going on or how to get into that world, even though I'm intrigued by the fact that it makes things a lot easier because you can actually type them up yourself and then you can get the manuscripts into the right hand. And it seems to me to be a more efficient cycle. I don't know, though.
It is a more efficient cycle. With e-book publishing, what you're going to be able to do is write the book and then get it up onto Amazon within minutes once you've got it finally written and edited and ready to go. Whereas in traditional publishing, it's usually 24 to 36 months from mm-hmm. the time that you contact the publisher to the time that the book hits. So it's really hard to have something through a traditional publisher be relevant to the moment. Whereas with digital publishing, there's a whole change in the speed.
Right.
So that you can very quickly publish something that you're working on.
Well, let's go back for a minute. What sort of a writer are you? What intrigued you about writing to begin with? I know I'm about the same as you. 8, 9 years old is when I picked up and started creating stories.
I think stories is the prime word there. I saw stories all around me,
mm-hmm.
And had the compunction, I guess I would say, to write them down. There were things going on around me, and they made me think of other stories. Now, I didn't necessarily write stories about what I saw,
uh-huh.
but what I saw influenced me.
Triggered something in you.
Yes. Exactly. And so I started writing stories. I tried to write a novel at about 10, and it was
wow.
It was terrible.
That ambition didn't occur to me until much later.
It was awful. I met somebody in the library, and he sat down and read what I had, and he said, "Well, you have a little ways to go." And I thought, "Yes, I do. Okay." But I was trying at that point anyway. And I also started writing poetry at the same time that I was writing stories.
As a kid or later?
Probably I was about maybe 14 when I started writing the poetry.
Wow.
So
didn't hit me until I was in my late, mid-20s.
Ah, okay.
I'd been writing short stories up until then.
Ah, see, and for me, what happened is when I got to be able to start working on poems, a poem was a more finite kind of... event for me to do. To write a short story took me just so long.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas a poem, what I needed to do was to capture the idea that I was doing, write a draft of it, and then put it away.
Sort of an encapsulated commentary somehow. Yeah.
Right, and then be able to come back and work on that. Now, later I even did research on certain poems that I did. There was a fella in Denver, because I grew up in Denver, Colorado, mm-hmm. Who hung out in all the bars. I didn't bring that poem with me, but his name was Herman Odoms Jr. And he was kind of a character that you would see in downtown Denver. He didn't have a lot of money. He went from bar to bar, and he would play his ukulele and sing, and people would keep him drunk,
okay,
basically,
okay, right.
And feed him a little bit and that kind of thing. And he passed – well, this is interesting because he passed – 2 days before Thanksgiving, which is what today is.
Right.
Okay. Back in the 70s. And nobody found him for like a week.
Wow.
because he just wasn't close to anybody.
Uh-huh. And sort of a loner.
Yeah, just kind of a loner. And so I went back into all the bars he played in and talked to all those folks and got information from him. When I walked in, they thought I was the police or something. They said, well, you know, why do you want to know about him? You know, they were pretty suspicious of anybody that was trying to do research on him because they thought I was probably trying to run him down for, you know, something or another. And
once they might have felt a little protective over him, too.
They did, I think. But once they understood what I was doing, they told me lots of stories about him so that I could put that poem together. So sometimes I did research like that. Other mm-hmm. times, the poems just popped into my head. I'd write them and then go back and work on them.
It's funny you should say that, you know, different things don't necessarily inspire us to write down what we're seeing, but it triggers something else. When you were telling me this story, I flashed when I was in Greenwich Village, and I can't remember the name of this bar. I was sitting in a bar that Dylan Thomas used to be a regular at, and I remember after having a little conversation with the bartender, we were sort of getting into just a good chat. And he looked at me and says, by the way, that's the chair Dylan Thomas died in, and I'm sitting in it.
Ooh.
I said, oh, great. Thanks for telling me now. So anyway, I just thought I'd divert. But back to you.
That's fine. So as time went on, I started to just collect these poems. You know, I'd write them and put them aside and then come back and work on them and didn't really think about much about them. And then when I was in my 30s, a friend of mine had an art opening and said, would you come and read? And I said, read what? And he said, read your poems. What do you mean, what?
Yeah.
I said, okay, all right, I'll do that. And so I did a reading for this fellow. His name was John Fish.
Mm-hmm.
And he ultimately did the front cover for the book that came out of this because somebody came up and said, well, that was great. Do you have a book?
Mm-hmm.
And that was all it took. And I thought, well, I'm going to get a book. I'm going to make a book, whatever it takes to make a book. I took 3 or 4 months working with the printer,
mm-hmm.
But went through the whole process from the beginning to the end of creating a book in the 70s, and very little of it was digitized in those days. They had just digitized typesetting at that time. So I went through the process of taking the poems that I had selected and went and gave them to the typesetter. The typesetter typeset them digitally and then came back with the negatives of those. Took those to the printer, and then you have to paint out the negatives because there's all these little places that light gets through, and you have to paint all that out, and then made the plates from them. And we were demoing on steel plates.
So were you actually working for a printer at this point? Or?
Well,
because you're describing that. Yeah, okay, for free.
Yeah, I was working for free in exchange for printing the book.
I got you.
Which allowed me, when I did the original book, to do it in 8 different colors of paper with 5 different kinds of ink.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But for me, the whole idea of poetry is that it should be an experience.
Yeah.
So I got some artists involved, and I had 12 different artists who did pictures for the book. So we put all that together, worked with the printer, got it printed, sent it out, got it perfect bound, got them back, and that was in 76, and did 1,000 copies. I think I have about 12 left.
Wow, not bad. And what is the name of this book?
That's a long time.
No, I've got one. What's the name of this book?
This is called I Fell for 13 Dreamers.
Ah, yes.
I recently released it as an ebook because I said 12 copies.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to go print it again.
Put it back in the universe, yeah.
So this is the way that I'll do that. So,
And I want to pick your brain about that in a minute, but I think I'd like to go over to a little Charlie Bird to sort of ease us into the next moment. Then I'm
a little
come
music.
Back. Then I'm going to come back and I'm going to ask you about that Ginsberg interview. I'm really curious about that one.
You're tuned to 103.5 FM, WCOM-LP, Chapel Hill, Carrboro. Están escuchando a 103.5 FM, WCOM-LP, Chapel Hill, Carrboro. Thanks for listening to our station. Mm-hmm.